has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We do have a good start to the market once again today, and just from my perspective, it seems like we've turned the corner on rising interest rates. A big bond market sell-off, and that's helping our markets. The Dow up 75 points right now to 33,836. We have the S&P up 10. That's a quarter of a percent. That's at 4,368 now on the S&P 500. The NASDAQ up 54 points to 13,617. That's the highest we've seen in a while on the NASDAQ as it continues to bounce. The small caps are up 44 basis points to 1783. That's the Russell 2000. Crude oil continues to back off. It's down 95 cents right now. That's 1.1%. That puts crude oil at $85.02. But we continue to hear this higher for longer. First it was interest rates. Now it's oil prices. Gold up 870 to 1884. And the 10-year is down another 5 basis points after being down 14 basis points yesterday. That's almost 20 basis points in 2 days. The 10-year at 4.60 after almost reaching 5 last week. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only a money management firm with clients pretty much all across America, and our show heard from coast to coast in several markets across America. We had a good day in the market yesterday, and the 10-year Bay Area was down 14 basis points yesterday. And it's down another 6 today.
Yeah, it was down and was down another 12 basis points earlier today prior to the PPI that came out.
Yeah.
So it was we were steadily, I was seeing it at close to 3 almost below, right in the 3, had a 4.5 handle for a moment, and right back up at 4.6 at the moment though.
And surprisingly to me, one of the Fed members, Kashkari, says the jump in 10-year Treasury yields is somewhat perplexing. Well, that's a little troublesome to me when the Fed, a member of the Fed, doesn't know what happened. And
it's either really good or really bad, right? Meaning yeah. It could be transitory if he doesn't know, or if you don't know, it's not could be bad.
Yeah. So nobody really knew at the time, and we still don't know who was selling heavily into the bond market. I'm just going to say that it was just a week later that the attack on Israel occurred. So I don't know if any foreign entity was unloading bonds to raise cash, to transfer to. That's just another theory that has now arisen. But we don't know. We just don't know. But it's settling down now. It was not sustainable. The sell-off in the bond market, at some point, you're going to get some heavy buying coming in to snatch up almost 5% rates guaranteed for the next 10 years by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government for what that's worth. But we had a good day in the market yesterday. And I'm just going to say that the action has shifted to what I would call the go-go stocks. Not quite the, the ARK Fund, Cathie Wood stocks, but the go-go stocks kind of in the middle there, the real high-quality growth. Especially the high fly, the real growth stocks, the superior growth stocks, which have been held back because, you know, small caps, most of them are small, micro caps, mid caps, they're starting to really take off here. We don't know how long it can last, but it's go, go, go right now. And you know, the other one, the other number that stands out to me, and I need Barry's take on this. The yield curve is now spread. The spread is only 33 basis points.
Yeah, it's flattening out. So we're inverted. And what's happened is, of course, the longer end of the curve, inverted means, if you look at it, it's downhill, right? You're paying more interest for something short-term than you were paying long-term. In reality, it should flip the other way. It should be, you should, if you're going to lend to somebody on the short end, you should only get a certain amount of interest, and if you're going to lend to somebody for 30 years, they should pay you more.
Yeah.
And so now that that inversion is beginning to flatten out, and we're getting close to a pretty much, getting real very close to almost a flat yield curve.
Yeah, which tells me, now I disagree with Gundlach, who makes his money off the bond market, that he says a recession is imminent. I go the totally opposite. I believe totally the opposite of what Gundlach has to say. I believe that it's because people are waking up and realizing that the U.S. economy is hanging in there despite these rate hikes and headed for a soft landing. And I think we got more evidence of that yesterday when the IMF upgraded our growth for this year from 1.8.
This year and next year.
Yeah. At 2.1,
and half a percent for 2024, which was pretty remarkable, given where a lot of folks were thinking, if the recession was coming, it was going to come end of 2023, early into 2024, and they're increasing their forecast for 2024 by 0.5%. So,
yeah, and the other thing is here that I see today. We'll get to this in a bit. One of the biggest firms, one of the biggest, macro outlook firms out there is now focusing on the earnings story. Well, welcome
Good
to
idea.
The party. Yeah. They're saying earnings are much stronger than anybody ever. I said that eventually, the focus would come back to earnings. And we'll get to that in a minute. I'll just give you a clue. It's J.P. Morgan. It's not Kalanovich or whoever it is. It's another guy at J.P. Morgan, and he says it's the earnings story, stupid. And I've been saying that all along. The other thing that stood out to me, the NASDAQ was up 79 points yesterday. And once again, they go in opposite directions as those interest rates come down. I mean, we were within a week maybe of calling a top in the interest rate cycle and a bottom in the bond market, which was bullish for the NASDAQ. I wrote three articles in a row talking about how the NASDAQ was setting up for a rally, and it happened. Where does it go from here? Well, you know what? We'll have a better idea of that in a few weeks, because now it's up to earnings. Not only have we not had any major warnings, we have one big tech stock, very influential tech stock, guiding higher today, which we'll get to here in a bit. Well, if we can get a win today in the market, we got a long ways to go. It would be a 4-day win streak. This all began last Friday in, just the opposite of what should have happened after the big jobs report and after interest rates spiking. That's when the market decided to take off, and now we're 4 days in a row. And it's picking up global stock markets, okay? Now, we do get the Fed minutes later today. I don't know what time they come out. Usually 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. That could move the markets. But we're seeing the rest of the world join in here. Hong Kong was up 1.3% last night. India, China, Europe. And this despite the fact that we have the worst war in Israel taking place in the last 50 years, and some are even saying since the Holocaust. And if you look at some of the atrocities that we're seeing, you got to definitely make some comparisons with the Holocaust. Inflation continues to drop. Germany's inflation rate drops to 4.5% in September, the lowest rate since the Ukraine war. And I've been saying now for the last several weeks that I think inflation is going to become a hiss and a byword, a thing of the past. It's not going to be a big part of the discussion. Instead, the focus moves elsewhere, mostly to earnings, and I would say the other big one, geopolitics right now. Those are the two. But suffice it to say that the bond bear market bubble has burst. And we've got equities going in the right direction again. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kitus, the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the rally, I'd call it a lukewarm rally, but we'll take it. The Nasdaq's up 54 right now. This would be day four since, you know, the Nasdaq finally bottoming after that correction. And the Dow up 62 right now. So we're hanging on to it with a lot of road to travel yet in the market today. Cash carry. He's got a few theories like the rest of us. You'd think he'd have a little more inside information than that. He thinks that maybe that all of a sudden it's the soft landing scenario is basically what he's saying. And that's the conclusion that I came to when I watched the market rally after a hot jobs report. You could only come to the conclusion that the U.S. economy is hanging in there. And it's hanging in there despite all the interest rate hikes, and that is the very definition of a soft landing. Now, here's another guy that's jumping on the Gunderson train. J.P. Morgan, Stephen Parker. I never heard of this guy.
All aboard. Right?
Maybe the other guy's been fired. What was his name? Kalanovich? Marco Calamitous? Marco Calamitous? He says, now, who said this in several articles recently, who put their neck on the line and said new highs for the stock market by mid next year? Those were my exact words. He must be reading my newsletter or my articles on Seeking Alpha. There's not very many people on Seeking Alpha over the last several weeks that have been writing that the market has the potential, the likely potential, to hit new highs. Okay, that's unheard
peanut,
of.
Yeah, you heard a little bit from the peanut gallery on a couple
yeah,
of those, right?
Well, I'm used to that. I would rather be right than popular any day of the week. Okay, I don't join the crowd. The crowd is almost always wrong. And I don't join the crowd on many things. You know, the way the world is going today, I would rather be right than popular. Okay, what's his reason for this bold call? He says, get this, the outlook for earnings. Oh, there's that word, earnings. And the equity market seems to reaccelerate. They're not reaccelerating. They never changed if you've been watching them for the last several years, but that's okay. They have, I guess, I would say the interest in them has reaccelerated, which could cause new highs by the middle of 2024, said Stephen Parker, head of specialized strategies at J.P. Morgan Private Bank. Well, he was. He said this publicly. He was on a CNBC interview yesterday. Him and Mary Ann Bartels, I don't know of her either, Sanctuary Wealth's chief investment strategist, agreed that the current higher for longer rate environment, rates have reached an intermediate top. We've also been saying that. Actually benefiting equity markets. And I said, basically, you know, it'll go on to hit new highs, but we need interest rates to start falling. And, of course, they've now come down about 25 basis points. We'll call it 25 basis points. From the very, you know, I can just say, and I think you would back me up on this, Barry, that was unusual, very unusual activity in the bond market.
Oh yeah, I mean you moved. I think we covered it here. I mean you went from basically right at four, just under four. I think I want to say even at the beginning of September, and you know finished the got to where we were at now, right? I mean almost pushed, we're getting close to pushing 5% at one point. I think got up to 4.8 ish, and that's it's a huge. It's almost a 20% or more. Move in bond yields, which, you know, it's something, number one, you rarely do things move that fast in the bond market. And number two, the high quality part of the corporate bond market, right, held up well compared to when you look, you know, treasuries were where things got clobbered. And usually it would be, you know, particularly in the bond market, you know, all bonds would be affected by that 10-year move or U.S. Treasury move, and they really weren't. It was just on the lowest quality stuff and then, of course, the U.S. Treasuries.
Yes, I mean, everybody, I invite anybody out there to come up with their own theory, but it was inexplicable. I've never seen a move like that so quickly, and just the dumping. Somebody needed cash.
A couple of, and we highlighted them. You had number one, the U.S. needed cash.
China. Who knows what China's up to?
Japan needed cash because they've been trying to protect the yen, which was coming close to 150 per dollar, which is somewhere that's kind of almost their line in the sand. And then of course we've had the Fed unwinding some of their balance sheet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I suspect something a little bit nefarious underneath there, and I'll just leave it at that. But, the other thing here that he points out, it was the same thing that we've been pointing out, is oil needed to start dropping. And, of course, it was at 93. It's come down to 85. He said what could potentially affect the markets is if crude oil breaks above 100, and I agree with that. I mean, we got to keep oil down under control, and we need to keep interest rates down. He says, our view is that the earnings outlook looks good. Boy, you know what? Nobody listened to me when I was saying it. Nobody listened to me. I guess some did. We think we bottomed out last quarter. We began to reaccelerate, and the fundamental story is a good one, which is supportive of stocks. Funny how earnings eventually come back as the main focus. He said he believes there will be a soft landing. What did my newsletter say last Friday? The title was Happy Soft Landing.
Happy Soft Landing. Hope we have one of those soft landings on next Monday when we head to Detroit, right?
Applying for a job at J.P. Morgan or Wells Fargo or Bank of America as their chief market strategist. Get rid of the idiots that you got. Have somebody that is boots on the ground watching the internals of the market. He says he believes there will be a soft landing with growth next year decelerating, but not to the point where there is a major recession. The new highs in the market next year, that's another bold claim we made, bold claim. New highs in the market next year will largely be driven by earnings growth, not by valuations. Although the sell-off recently has given us a little bit more cushion. Yeah, we're at 17.6 right now on the forward PE of the S&P. 17.6. We know that a lot of the rally this year has been driven by the Magnificent Seven, which is NVIDIA, Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Tesla, but we think there is a catch-up trade, and I totally agree that it's going to spread out, and we're seeing that right now with leaders like Celsius Holdings, Deckers Outdoor, and many of the other smaller unknown stocks that we own in our smaller portfolios. Okay, there's a lot of news in the energy patch. When we come back, it's the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you're not getting the newsletter coming to your inbox every Saturday afternoon, you know, what can I say? I think we've been the leader amongst all the macro outlook folks out there. There's nothing more important than the macro outlook. You could be the best stock picker in the world if you don't have the macros on your side. And the big best indicator of the next bear market will be a fall off in earnings expectations. And that's why I am so vigilant on it every single week to get 2 free weeks of the Gunderson newsletter. And then after that, you continue to get our article every week, you know, unless you say, hey, you know, quit sending me stuff. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the full newsletter, which has all the portfolios in them. You can see how they've done this year. We've got some pretty good performance going on there. And then after the 2 weeks, you continue to get the slimmed down version of the newsletter, which has a lot of info. I don't know how you could manage your money in the market or know what's going on in the market without that vital information coming every Saturday. Next week at this time, we'll be sitting in Bloomington Hills, Michigan at the, what's the name of the hotel? It just escaped my mind. I got it here.
Bloomfield Hills.
The Kingsley.
The Kingsley. It's got like three names. Kingsley, Bloomfield Hills, Doubletree.
Doubletree by Hilton. We got to give Hilton a plug.
Yeah, that's right.
If you'd like to set up an appointment, we're meeting with a lot of people, and I'm looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite things to do is to, you know, finally meet face-to-face with people that listen to the show.
Yeah, because
like
this is kind of some
hear.
This is like some one-way communication. It's nice when you get some two-way communication, right?
It's very weird to give to speak every day with no audience. You can't see the faces. You know, when I teach in church, I can see the expressions on their face as to whether they're getting it or not or following it or, you know, this kind of thing. But it is what it is. So we'll be there if you'd like to make a reservation. It's a very rare opportunity. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And in the meantime, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be in Bloomington Hills, Michigan to meet with us. You know, we're heard in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. We're heard in Sarasota for many years in that area. And we've got our show in Minnesota for many years. So you're pretty much circling the U.S. there. And we are on a lot of stations across the U.S. But you could be anywhere in the U.S., anywhere in the U.S.
We've got a lot of clients in Hawaii.
Yes, and we meet with you. Look, I'm not going to go over and open an office in Hawaii. We do it virtually. That's today. That's 2023. And we were way ahead of the times before COVID working this way, which is more efficient, much more efficient. It gives me an extra 2 hours or an hour and a half every day to look at charts instead of looking at the traffic in front of me, right? So anyways, you can set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Now, okay, the next, well, and I would say that our next trip will be, we don't have a date yet, when the temperatures hit about 5 degrees in Minnesota, we go down to Sarasota. Because we know that all the people and folks, or up in Jersey, where all the Sarasota, a lot of snowbirds in Sarasota, they have two homes. Half the time they're up there, and as soon as that first snowfall hits or first freeze, Then we start heading down to Sarasota to meet with folks that are returning, just like the geese, you know, returning to their homes in Sarasota. That will be our next trip. Okay, we have a deal in the oil patch. It's pretty big.
Yeah,
Exxon confirms the deal to buy Pioneer Natural Resources, $60 billion in stock, and I think $253 a share or something like that. There's cash, but it's mostly stock. And so that deal, it's going to be up to the regulators, but the Exxon CEO, Darren Wood, says he doesn't see any regulatory issues with the Pioneer Natural deal. I think it's giving Exxon even more exposure to liquid natural gas. I think Pioneer focuses more on natural gas than on crude. And I think, like we've said many times, liquid natural gas seems to be the bridge.
You're right.
If there is a bridge, if you can ever get to the other side where wind and solar...
Could be the bridge to nowhere. It could be the bridge to greener energy.
But I was watching all those tanks massing, you know, in Israel. They're not running on wind and solar,
right?
Push comes to shove, you got to have reliable and lots of it energy. BP, they're the ones. I've got two companies raising their earnings higher. BP raises their EBITDA. That's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And says their strategy is unchanged. They raise their core earnings guidance by $2 billion. This is for 2030. Man, they're looking way out there. Targeting EBITDA of $53 billion at 70. They're counting on $70 per barrel oil. And this is up from their previous EBITDA estimates. There's a raise higher. The other company doing it is Taiwan Semiconductor. And you know what? This is really good news because Taiwan is a major indicator of PC, the PC market. And we're seeing signs, many signs now, that the PC market has finally bottomed. And I think if you want an indicator of that, look at the chart of Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM. I was ready to pull the plug on Taiwan. So it just kept getting pounded. Not pounded, but it just was disappointing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm glad I didn't sell it because it has taken off. It finally bottomed just above 80, and now it's at 92 in the last couple of weeks. They make 80% of the chips out there. And so I think as a company, there's no better indicator for the health of the semiconductor market, the chip market, because they're the ones getting orders from everybody to make their chips, than Taiwan Semiconductor. So that's really good news. And I think that's part of the turnaround too. That's kind of an added bonus to the interest rates going down, oil going down. But all of a sudden, the PC market bottoming and starting to pick up a little bit again. Now, the situation in Israel, we got to bring that up. American Airlines is suspending flights to Israel through early December. Man, they're expecting a long conflict. That's 2 months that Airlines will not fly in there.
I saw another airline, it was a European airline that was going to, I think it was pushing it out until January or February. Wow. So they're planning ahead on their routes and everything else. And so, to suspend them for, 3 weeks, right, would be expensive. And who knows, they probably would likely have to keep suspending them. Yeah, so they certainly have pushed it out. They've seen a few push it out to 2024.
And United Airlines has indefinitely suspended flights. Delta through the end of October, but I'm sure they'll be revisiting that. And that leads Paul Tudor Jones, a very well-known hedge fund manager, saying we're living in the worst geopolitical environment amid the current and international war, said hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones. And I am hearing that Israel is sending thousands of troops to the northern border now. Hezbollah has not really joined in, but there's been some skirmishes there.
And a few rocket attacks, which are somewhat normal up there. But yeah, they've had some rockets get sent out from there in the north. And yeah, I mean, you're essentially potentially fighting a two, potentially three front war to some
extent.
Yes,
and the U.S. has parked an aircraft carrier off of Lebanon. And I guess they've intercepted papers with plans. The plan was to surround Israel, you know, and have a multi-pronged war, and to take that, they wanted to take that area down there in the Gaza and keep it. But that didn't happen. So anyways, geopolitics. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, more on the obesity drugs. This is really one of the stories.
We just talked about this yesterday, too. Kidney side? Right, man.
You know, at first I thought that was bad news.
Me too, because they suspended the study.
Yeah, they suspended the study of the efficacy of Ozempic on kidney failure. Then they were not given the results, other than they were told, hey, we've seen enough that you can end this trial.
Yeah, it was so compelling. The info was so compelling that, in other words, it's not hurting kidneys. And yeah, kind of the way it was almost like a double negative, the way they worded that. But yeah, it's, ended the study early because they had so much proof that it was, you know, not hurting your kidneys. And then, of course, in reality, it's going to be helping. And that's where some of the, that's why you're looking at like DaVita and all those, dialysis stocks are getting pounded.
You know, I was looking at the S&P 500. I said, what the heck is going on in the S&P 500 in this group? Baxter down 9.3%, Dexcom down 7.7%, ResMed, which is sleep apnea, down 6.3%, Boston Scientific down 6%, Edwards Life Sciences down 4.6%. That's a massive sell-off. I would call that the medical instruments, medical products sector of the market. And it's because of this news that Ozempic, which is semaglutide, which is the drug underlying that, is now find effective for kidney failure.
Yeah, you know, that's and just so we know, from a cost standpoint, dialysis is one of the largest health insurance costs. It's also a profit center for these big names that you're seeing getting hit today. And I think it was Nixon who signed in, dialysis for, Medicare or something years and years ago. And no one thought that it would, become this, kind of what it is today, right? Where thankfully folks can continue to live with kidney issues, even if they're not don't have a donor, even if they're not, a candidate for a transplant. But on a go-forward basis, we may, may not be as much of an issue and or cost center for, Medicare, Medicaid, and other health care providers.
Yeah, I mean, this is just incredible. Like, there's news every. There's also news too that the packaging sector could be hit by the weight loss drugs. People that package, a lot of the snack foods and this kind of thing. They're feeling the impact of it. It's semaglutide. That's Novo Nordisk, and Eli Lilly's is Mounjaro or tirzepatide. And you know what? That's a massive cottage industry now. Getting prescriptions, getting it prescribed. You can do it online. You know, I've talked to people. Appointment online over the internet, and you have to meet a few criteria, not many really, you have your prescription. I'm talking to two people on a regular basis that are on it. One has been on it for several months, has lost 65 pounds, maybe a year. Maybe he's been on it a year. He's probably a better judge than anybody, someone to listen to. He's also a biotech CEO. And then, of course, we have another friend here that just started it, okay? And I'm going to be interested. That's all I know is so far. He said it was easy to get. It's $300 a month. my wife, how can I get it? You know, she's all women, always on a diet looking for an easy way to lose weight and everything. I said, well, and then he said the shot was easy. You apply the shot yourself. You start off with 2 milligrams. You increase it over time. And he says that his appetite, he just doesn't think about food all the time. Like, most of us, we're eating breakfast and we're thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. We're eating lunch. Right. Where are we going for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Have a fixation on this stuff because of all the good things that have come up.
Gotta get that next meal, right?
Yeah, so it just takes that, away. And that's a good thing. And I just say that if we could get obesity under control, the tentacles of that are enormous in heart health, in chiropractors, in,
kidney health,
orthopedics, kidneys, everything. And my wife was, asking me, what about, have they found any effects, side effects, bad? Well, I said, these drugs have been used for a long time now. They have a long record of these drugs for diabetes. And no, there have not been any, other than a few things here. Thyroid cancer was one, and the other was maybe suicidal thoughts. And I'm thinking, well, a lot of people, when they get on the scale, they have suicidal thoughts, right? Not another 5 pounds over the weekend. So, you know what? I mean, the risk to reward here is just enormous, enormous. And I like the guy that laughed at my article calling Lilly, a massive stock going forward. He said, this article is laughable. Well, okay. Fine. That's your opinion.
Laugh all the way to a 33 waist size.
And now I'm going to talk about one more in the last minute here that all of a sudden is breaking out. And I've been watching it because there are, there are talks of it getting in on this. Amgen is a member of the Dow. Amgen, look at the chart. It's breaking out today. Today is the breakout day. And I own just a little bit. I bought some a few weeks back because of the activity. I'm kind of the guinea pig, right? If it works out, then there's something there. Okay, that's all I know. And Amgen pays a big dividend. But I don't know. It's moving. That's all I know is the stock is breaking out. That's all I know. I don't know what's driving it. Okay, to get the newsletter, if you're not getting it, you're crazy. Get 2 free weeks of the full newsletter and then ad infinitum on the article every Saturday that I write. 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com, to talk to us about a little bit active management, not sleepy management. 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment with us. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.